Luke chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll just read down through our text verse number 5. Actually, we'll just might as well read down through verse 7. And it came to pass in those days, verse 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and this is our text thought, being great with child. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Notice that word. We'll be looking at that tonight. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, if we're not careful, we'll kind of section this passage and put it into a Christmas context and not even look at it, not even consider it in the other parts of the year. But the Word of God is a 365-day-a-year book, amen? It's not sliced up and diced up and put in Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas and a few other occasions, amen? It's for everyday living. But we're interested in verse 5 where the Bible says that she, Mary, the espoused wife of Joseph, was great with child. Of course, the child being Jesus and Jesus being God, we use that as our title of being great with God. God's people ought to desire and aspire to have greatness with God in their life. Amen? You'll never be great for Him until you are great with Him. Amen? Most people will never pray for God to work greatly through them until He has worked first greatly in them. And so there's several things we looked at this morning. I want to get to where we left off and try to conclude the service tonight if I could. First of all, we noticed this morning to have God in you as did Mary, and that's a parallel with a person that has God in them at salvation. Amen. When you get saved, God comes in you. His nature comes in you. His life comes in you. His Spirit comes in you. Amen? That's the only way you can be what you need to be. The only way you can live the life that God wants you to live is that He's in you. His nature is in you. If His nature wasn't in you, you couldn't love what He loves. Amen? If His nature was not in you, listen, there's no way that you could be what a Christian's supposed to be. But God equips you when He comes into you so that you can be everything that He desires and designs for you to be. Well, we noticed that as we paralleled Mary and Jesus inside of her to us being saved and Jesus being inside of us, the first thing we noticed this morning was it requires a divine conception. There was a point that this took place in Mary's life. There was a time in Mary's life Jesus was not in her. Are you listening? There was a time that Jesus was not in her. There was a time that it happened. There was an event. There was a point and a place that this divine conception took place. And I mentioned this morning, I think it's worth repeating, just kind of get our minds going back where we were this morning. And that is this. She realized that this could not have been done by man. This divine conception, man had nothing to do with it. She even testified, I know not a man. This is not of man, but the Scripture lays it out that this is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is of the Spirit of God. Amen. Verse 35 of chapter 1, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so we know that there is a divine conception. And then we preached about that this morning. Number two, we noticed also this morning, not only a divine conception, but it gives way then to a developing growth. Amen. The conception is only the beginning. Okay? Just like salvation, it's only the start. It's not the end. It's not all there are to it. It's just the beginning. It's just the start. It's just the conception. There is growth that follows. Amen. There's growth that follows. So we dealt with that this morning. And the fact that God puts in you the Word. That's the seed that was put in you divinely by the Spirit of God was the Word. And notice what happens when Jesus got inside of her. That Word wasn't just conceived in her, but that Word grew in her. You listening? That Word grew in her. We know Jesus was the Word. You remember the verse? Everybody paying attention? Remember the verse that we preached about this morning? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Where was He made flesh at? Where was He made flesh? Inside Mary. Amen. God used Mary to allow Jesus to be put into a human form. And the development, friend, is more than a conception of the Word. It's a development of the Word. Amen? When you get saved, it will be evident in the fact that God hooked you up with the living Word and the written Word, and that Word will get big in you. That Word will grow you. As Jesus, the Word in her, got bigger, she grew with it. She expanded as the Word grew inside of her. You'll never be great with God until you have a big inner dwelling of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You can't just read this book once every blue moon and be great with God. You're saved, there's going to be a development in you. There's going to be a growth in you. I like this. I thought about this today. The Holy Spirit put that Word in her. Amen. And then that Word grew in her. Jesus. You can't separate the Word of God from Jesus. And watch this right here. In Genesis chapter number 1, guess what? The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. Amen. The Spirit of God came into a world, my friend, that was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God began to move on such a mess. And guess what happened? Light came, and formation came, and creation came. Oh, the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed her, overshadowed Mary. I read the verse. Thank God put Jesus inside of her. Amen. And the Holy Spirit can do that to you. But anyway, there's a development. There is a growth that takes place in your life. Now, I thought about this today while we were eating lunch. In fact, we got several little thoughts added, but I thought about this while sitting there waiting on the meal. I was thinking about this development, this growth. She was great with child. She was great with God. God measures greatness by how big Jesus is in you. But here's what I thought about today. Miss Lord, where you at? Come on up to the front row. I might as well get you in position. Amen. Amen. We got to preach this message now because I wouldn't have an illustration if I wait much longer. Amen. But I want you to notice something about Miss Lori. And what I thought about this Brother Rob today, and I'm telling you, it blessed me. This development, this growth, this growing process. Notice that it's happening right in the center. Amen. God wants to get big in the center of your life. Amen. And if she was, if this baby was anywhere else, it would throw her off balance. Amen? But God made it to where when that life is in you and it's growing and getting bigger, amen, just like when God gets in a believer, amen, He wants to get in not on the foot, not on the leg, not on the shoulder. He wants to get right in the middle, and guess what He wants to get in the middle of? Your body. Amen. Amen. Jesus could have never been born had not He made use of a human body. You say, preacher, the body's not important. It don't matter. It's all a spiritual thing. Can you find that in the Bible? I challenge you, find that principle. Find that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Amen? Your body is important. Your body is vital. When God was wanting to put His Son in this world, He chose a human body to work in and to work through. Amen. Don't be loose with your body. Amen. Make sure there's an element of holiness and purity that is about your body. Because the Bible says that your body and your spirit, which are God's, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? God says a lot in the Bible about your body. Present your body a living sacrifice. You don't see, I promise you, you don't hear that preached much in a lot of churches. Amen? That's why they're being eat up with loose living. Amen. Amen. We could have a crowd probably if we had loose preaching and no standards, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I know it's right. I know it's right. I know what God's done in my life. I'm not preaching what I heard. I'm not preaching hearsay. I'm not preaching second-handed information. I'm preaching the things that God has worked in my heart from the Word of God. Now listen to me. I'm talking about this development. It'll be in the center of your life. Amen? Amen. And I thought about this too today. And Miss Lori's almost there. But this development will increase to the point that everybody that observes her will think, wow, she looks like she is about to pop. They'll be scratching their head. I can't believe that they hadn't just exploded. Amen. When's the last time somebody saw God so big in you? They saw God so big in you that, my friend, it affected every part of your life and you were so swelled up with His bigness that people looked at you and said, you know what? They're so full of God. I don't know how in the world that they're not just popped. Amen. Amen. Most of us don't have that issue. I've yet to be in a service where get in the service and there's so many people so full of God that the service about blowed up. Amen? Most people, my friend, have Jesus in them, but they're not great with Him as in the text. I'm talking about, listen, and I mentioned this morning that the development, my friend, of that new life in her has grown now. She lacks just a few more weeks, a couple, two, 3 weeks or so. But that has grown now to where there's no room for nothing else. Some of the ladies that's in here that's had babies told me today, they said, preacher, said when you have that baby in there, said, and it gets big, said it makes all the innards goes upwards and round and it just kind of pushes everything every which way, amen. In other words, there's just no room in there for nothing else. Oh, wouldn't that be good if RBT would get so full of God, my friend, that there wouldn't be no room for carnality. There wouldn't be no room for sin. There wouldn't be no room for anger. And there wouldn't be no room for gossip. There wouldn't be no room for evil speaking. There wouldn't be no room, my friend, for anything like that, because we'd just be so full of God, amen. It would cramp out everything. And my friend, it'd push out everything else. Amen. Amen. Well, there's several things we could say on that point, but I don't want to re-preach it. But there's a development that's implied. But also, could I mention thirdly, as I started preaching this morning, there's a difference. It makes a difference in everything when you are with child, when you're great with child. And so it is with a believer. When you've got God in you, as Mary did, my friend, it's going to swell up and it's going to make a difference in you. And we pointed out this morning, it'll make a difference in your wants. You'll be starting to crave and have desires for things that everybody else, some of the other people, would frown on. I can't believe that they want that. I can't believe that they would eat that. I can't believe that they desire that. That's the way the world looks at us. When we want to desire to go to church and be faithful to church and live right and feed on the Word of God, amen, and not partake of the sins of the world, amen, and try to live a separated and a sanctified life, people look at us, Brother McCarrick, and they say, man, I can't believe that's got to taste awful. I mean, they don't get to do nothing. They can't go nowhere. Everything they do is no, no, no. And they think, man, that's an awful taste. But to the one that is great with child, when they eating on that or feeding on whatever that strange is, guess what? Their eyes roll back in their head. They're licking their lips like, oh man, that's wonderful. You know why? It's the one, my friend, that's got the desires that's going to be enjoyable. Do I look like I'm having a terrible time? Do I look like being saved is a boring time, Brother Jacob? Does it look like that? Oh, I've been saved 28 years. I want to be more excited than I've ever been. I want my excitement to grow. I want to get deeper with God. I want to go further with God. I do not ever want to project to anyone that getting saved is a downhill journey. Oh, yeah. I don't want any of these young people that's come on the van tonight, any of the people that comes in this church that are lost without God, I don't want them to think being saved and being a Christian and going to church all the time, that's just a terrible thing. No, we want them to know, praise God, when you've got God in you, it tastes good. Amen. Amen. It may seem strange to the world, but it tastes good to us. But it makes a difference in your wants. And then we noted also, it makes a difference in your walk. We had Miss Laura to parade across the... Not parade, but we had her to walk across the... Amen. She's been through a lot for me to be able to use her as illustration this morning. Amen. Amen. But listen, you watch someone that's with child, great with child, walk. It affects their walk. I call them waddlers, amen. They just kind of just start waddling, amen. And involved in that walk, you know, we pointed out this morning, I thought it was a good point the Lord gave us while we were preaching, that thing was, listen, when you got God in you, like Mary had God in her, swollen up big, amen. Guess what? Everywhere she went, God was out front, amen. God was always out front. He's in the center of what was going on. Amen. The walk is different. I'm talking about a difference. Is there any difference in you? Amen. Is there any difference in you? I've never seen anybody get saved that didn't want to be made different, that didn't want to change. Amen. If you come to the altar and you love your life and you love your sin and you love not being saved, my friend, you're probably not going to get saved. But when the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of you and deals with you, my friend, and begins to draw you to Himself, and you want to be saved, oh, the Spirit of God will delight to put Jesus in you. Amen. But oh, are you listening? Now, I've done talked to Miss Lori about this next point, so don't worry about if I'm embarrassing her. Not only does it make a difference in your wants, and it makes a difference in your walk, but it makes a difference in your weight. Oh. It's impossible to be great with child, Miss Lori, without some additional weight. Are you listening? What's good? You know why there's additional? I'm not going to ask you. That's none of my business. We're staying spiritual here. Amen. I don't have to ask how much, but I know why. You know why there's additional weight? There's two instead of one. Not two babies, but you and the baby. Amen. I went to school. One plus one is two. Amen. Listen, brother, when you get saved, God takes up residence inside of you by the Holy Spirit of God, and He lives inside of you, and He grows, and He grows, and He gets bigger, and He enlarges inside of you. And it adds weight to your testimony. It adds weight to your praying. It adds weight to your influence. It adds weight to your words. Amen. It'll make a difference in your weight. I've seen people been saved years and years and years, and they still weigh the same spiritually. They still weigh the same. It makes me wonder, is there another life inside? Listen, if there's another life inside of you, guess what? It's going to add weight. It's going to add bigness, amen, to your life. Are you listening? I like this. It's going to make a difference not only in your walks. It makes a difference in your walk. And it makes a difference. To be great with God makes a difference in your weight or your weightiness, if you'd like to word it that way. But it also makes a difference in your wardrobe. Amen. That's right. It makes a difference. In other words, Miss Lori here is dressing according to her condition. Oh. Amen. She don't make her condition match the way she dresses, but she dresses according to the condition. She's great with child and is dressing accordingly. To be great with child, you don't dress like everybody else dresses. Because if you try to dress like everybody else is dressing, if you're great with child, guess what it's going to do to you? It's going to add a great deal of discomfort. Because I tell you what, listen, of course I've never been there, but I can prophesy. Amen. I can only imagine what tightness, wearing something tight and skimpy and little would do. When you're great with child. I can imagine. Huh?
That's right.
Amen? It's getting quiet. Did y'all notice that? Amen? That's right. Amen. But I'm not blushing. She's dressing according to the one that's in her. She's dressing, Brother Chuck, in a fashion, my friend, that draws attention to the fact that she's great with child. She's not trying to hide her condition. And by the way, being great with child is a condition.
Amen.
A real condition. Amen? What's this? She dressed according to her condition. She dressed in a manner to draw attention to the one that was inside her. See, that's what the Bible's talking about in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, that women should dress in modest apparel. It's talking about dressing in a fashion that does not draw attention to your shape. It does not draw attention to your form. It does not draw attention to your flesh. It does not draw attention to your figure. But it draws attention to the inner man that's inside you. I wonder sometimes even about married women. I wonder really who they're dressing for. I wonder sometimes whose eyes they're really dressing for. Are they dressing for their husband? Or are they dressing for God? Or are they dressing for somebody else? Amen. That's right. We're having a good time. I'm still in the book. I know some people don't know that's in the book, but it's in the book. Amen. That men, that women ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And the next verse talks about professing themselves to be holy. Let me read it to you. I just happen to have it marked. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Why? Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, when you're great with God, you'll want to dress in according to that condition. You'll not want to hide it. Amen. That's right. Amen. You say, preacher, you don't need to preach that. Get your head out of the sand. Amen. Get your head out of the sand. Amen. When we've got going on right here in Hawkins County, what we've got going on, all the immorality, all of the fornication, all of the adultery that's going on, my friend, I promise you it needs to be preached. There's probably not a 1 out of 10 or 15 or 20, 25 or 30 or 50 churches in this county or in this part of the country that'll preach anything about how you're supposed to dress. Amen. The Bible's full of it. Amen.
Amen.
It affects you. Being great with God, my friend, is Mary. Amen. Will affect your wardrobe. It will affect how you dress. You say, preacher, but I'm just dressing like this because it's comfortable. Well, I've never found in the Bible where comfort is supposed to be the guideline.
Amen.
I found where godliness is supposed to be the guideline. Amen. There ain't nothing spiritual about nakedness. Show me in the Bible where God says any good thing about nakedness. I can show you in the Bible that when people get away from God, they take their clothes off. Children of Israel, when they made the golden calf, started worshiping the golden calf, they started dancing, and they started drinking, they started fornicating and committing adultery, and the Bible said they were naked. God said about Adam and Eve when their eyes were opened and they weren't even no man to lust after her. There wasn't even another woman, my friend, to catch Adam's eye. It was just him and her. But God said the shame called their nakedness a shame. And their eyes were opened. And even when there was nobody else to look, they tried to clothe themselves. Amen. Ain't too many churches can handle preaching on the wardrobe, I can tell you that. Amen. Listen, Hollywood is not supposed to set the standard for our dress codes. Hollywood's not supposed to set the standard. You say, well, if I dress godly, then somebody won't think that I'm Hannah Montana. Nobody will think that I'm one of them others. Amen. Well, who gives a flip? Amen. Who cares? Why would you want to be, my friend, looking like that crowd anyhow? Why would you want to pattern your life after people that would never be a member of this church? They would never sit under this kind of preaching. They would never give a dime to missions. My friend, all they're concerned about is doping and drinking and fornicating and all of that bunch of junk and ruining our generation with immorality. Why would you want to be like them? That's right. Say amen right there. We done dug that hole out. We might as well put some water in it. Amen. That's right. Amen. Listen, you can't run around. Listen, I'm going to ask you something. How many women, men, let me just ask you something. We just might as well get plain. How many women would you have to look at that's revealing their flesh for you to cease to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You say, well, it don't bother me. Well, you just told a big, fat lie. So I'm above that, preacher. That can be all around me. It won't bother me. Baloney. I don't believe a word of that. Amen. You can't look at it. You can't, my friend, hug on women. My friend, that's seductive and revealing of the flesh. And my friend, and stay spiritual. You can't do it.
Amen.
Amen. Know your limitations. Know your weaknesses. And don't budge the boundaries. I know what I can look at and what I can't look at. I know where I can go and I can't go. I'm not going to put myself in a place that I know before I go I'm going to be backslid as a goat before I leave. Amen. I've been here 17 years and I have never been inside the cesspool out here. I mean the city pool out here. Never. I couldn't handle it. Ain't no way I can handle it. I'm a preacher too. I'm a pastor. I've been preaching 28 years. And ain't no way I can go in there with all that flesh, Brother Jacob, and stay full of God. I'd be full of something, but it wouldn't be God. Amen. Getting tired yet, see us? Sit down there a minute. Amen. I got on the other and forgot about you. Are you listening? That's right. Might as well hit it all while we're here. Amen. Just plow it up. Amen. Now listen, can I say this right here? Might as well deal with it. It's on tape. Handing out tracts, making contacts and calls. There's going to be people coming in here. Amen. From both sides of the track. There's going to be everything under the sun come in here. Are you listening? And we want sinners to come. I don't care what they look like. Are you listening? I don't care what they look like or what they've got on. I'm talking about sinners. I'm talking about when they first come. But listen. Our church should be an influence to them. Don't none of you, listen, that may not be good English, but don't none of you think, well, preacher's not saying nothing about these visitors coming with this and that and the other, so I'm going to budge the boundaries. If you're a member, you're going to get in trouble. We're loving sinners, praise God. We're going to love them to Jesus. They're going to come in here with all kind of baggage. They're going to come in here with everything under the sun, my friend. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to preach to them Jesus. We're going to love on them. We're going to show them there's a better way. We're going to eat man, that's right. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to stay on that long. Amen. I mean, listen, you identify a nurse if they've got nurse clothing on. Brother McCarricker, you're a nurse. Who else we got? Miss Danelle, who else? Miss Loring? Well, you're my illustration. Do you have a particular nurse uniform or nurse clothing that you have to wear? Brother McCarricker? In other words, even secular offices and secular positions know how important it is for people to dress according to their position. Brother Bob's not here. Brother Clapper, you used to be in the long arm of the law. Did you have a uniform you wore? You mean you just couldn't just wear anything? Standard. Did you say standard? It was standard. It wasn't up for debate. It was standard. My friend, why? He dressed according to his position and according to his title. People in armed forces, they dress according to their position. Amen? That's right. And when it comes to the house of God, we ought to dress so as to profess godliness. We ought to dress, my friend, with modesty, amen, and purity, and cover up the flesh, amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I'm against it all. I ain't preached on it in a long time, but I'm against it all. Amen, I'm against it. Mixed bathing, I'm against it. You can't swim around the opposite sex, my friend, and keep a clean mind. You can't do it. Amen. Well, I figured it'd get tight right there, but it's all right. Let me go on. I got to deal with something else. We're getting on a positive note here. Not only talk about a divine conception and a developing growth and a difference and amen that's made in your life, but number four, also there is a detection. And we've been bumping on this point all through the message this morning and tonight. But as God grows inside of Mary and she's big great with God and gets big with God inside of her, it becomes noticeable. It becomes visible. The body, the life, the person that's inside Miss Lori has grown to the point, my friend, that it's starting to, and has been for a long time, to show on the outside. Can I ask y'all a question? Does anybody, I'm talking about you that are saved, does anybody else know you're saved? We had a lady come to church here several years ago that worked with another individual and had worked there for years with them. And they came to church and I went and visited them. They said they're saved. Well, this man that went to church here at that time, he said, preacher, I've worked around that lady for X amount of years. He said, I've worked around her. He said, I've never seen any evidence out of her life of being a Christian. I've never heard one word out of her mouth about being a Christian. He said, in fact, I've never suspected at all that she is a Christian. If you can keep it hid, you don't have nothing to hide. Miss Lori could have said, you know what? I know eventually I'm gonna get great with child, but I'm gonna keep it all inside. I'm gonna keep it all hid, and nobody'll ever know. Miss Lori, have you been trying to keep it hid? Do you not want nobody to know? You don't care, do you? You want people to know God's inside you as a believer. Amen? Oh, listen. The detection. Listen, you know what was detected? The difference. Mary was great with child and she was different in a lot of those areas I preached, plus some. And that's what was detectable. That's what was noticed. Amen? What's this? It was detectable to herself. Miss Lori, how long did it take you to figure out that you was with child? Not very, very long. God inside you, you're going to know it personally. You're going to know it personally. That's right. It's going to be detected personally. And I just thought about this today. I was sitting on the couch with Craig thinking about it. You know, how is it that they know that? Well, of course, other than what we've already preached, you know, they begin to enlarge, they begin to swell up, something's inside. But here's what I thought. She could tell personally that she was with child by looking. And one way is to look in the mirror. Oh, yes. The book of James talks about the Word of God being a mirror. Looking into the precious law of liberty. Hey, can you look into that mirror and see a reflection of God in you?
That's good. Amen. Thank you.
Mirrors don't lie. Mirrors tell it just like it is. Amen. Don't say mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, if you don't want the truth. The Word of God's a mirror. You'll be able to look in that precious Word of God, that mirror, and see if it's reflecting God in you. Amen. Amen. You know how another way, Miss Lori, you know how another way that you can tell that you personally are great with child? Not only by looking, but by leaping. That baby inside, after a while, starts. Huh? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Oh, that's right. Amen. I mean, brother, you even on the outside, many times you could see movement. I remember when Blake, before he was born, I remember watching I don't know if his elbow, a foot, or what, amen, go across Leisha's stomach. And the stomach could go. Amen. I didn't jump back and be afraid. Ah! What is that? No, I knew there's life in there. Amen. Let me ask you something. How can you be saved and not every once in a while feel God inside you kicking around, amen, and moving around? He's in there, but He's not dormant. He's in there. He's alive. And He's active and He's growing. And He's developing. Amen. I know, listen, there'll be times you go to church and you may not feel God every time you go to church, every time you pray, every time you read the Bible. May not, but somewhere, somewhere along the way, God's going to be moving in you and working in you. Detection. You'll not keep it a secret, amen. Every time you course, we dealt with that this morning. Every time you see a lady great with child, you notice the center. You notice where the child is. Sooner or later, there's going to be evidence in your life. Amen. And again, I mentioned there was a time that Jesus was in her, but He wasn't great in her. To you that are lost, I'm talking about, boys, it'll be a blessing someday when you get Jesus inside you. I can't put in human language how important it is and how wonderful it is to have Jesus inside of you. Say, preacher, explain that. I can't explain that. I can't explain, Brother Craig, I can't explain God in me no more than I can explain that baby in Miss Lori. That's all miraculous. That's all beyond my ability to comprehend. I can't explain it, but oh, it's wonderful, you young people. Listen, you can have the world and the keys to it and be miserable and empty and sad and depressed and down and suicidal and everything. But I'm going to tell you, listen, where happiness is found is when Jesus gets inside you and begins to live in you. That's where the joy is at. That's where the joy is at. Amen. And I mentioned this morning as well. And when that baby, she was great with child, as with Miss Lori, guess what the flesh does? The flesh, it stretches the flesh. And with that stretching of the flesh comes pain. Amen? There's pain involved with that growth and that development, God getting in you. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. Amen. You know what I think in our men to go? I wrote it down while somebody was testifying. It's been so long since Miss Lori wasn't with child that I don't hardly remember it. Huh? Listen, and that's only been, what, 9 months? Not even 9 months yet. There ought to be such a difference. There ought to be such a difference in your appearance. There ought to be such a difference in your action. There ought to be such a difference in your life. Guess what? That when people look at you for a period of time, they ought to not even hardly be able to remember how you used to be before that time. Amen? Oh, that ought to be... Listen, hey, man. That ought to become your identity. Having God in you and be great with God. Let me close with this last point. Not only divine conception and a developing growth and a detection, but a difference and then a detection. But then there's a point for a delivery. The Bible said here in the text, look at it right quick. Give me just a few minutes here. Luke chapter number 2, verse 5, the Bible said she was great with child. Verse 6 says that the days that she should be delivered were accomplished. Delivered. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. Amen. In verse number 12, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you see that development? There's a delivery. You say, preacher, your type's going to break down right here. Oh no. God, yes, God wants to be great inside you. He wants to get big inside you, but He don't want it to be contained inside of you. Amen. Oh, this is good. Because see, as long as she was great with God inside of her, Mary I'm talking about, it was only affecting her. God never got inside Mary to just bless Mary and then fill up Mary and infect Mary. God put Jesus inside Mary, my friend, to be one day produced, amen, and to be brought forth into a world of sinners. Amen. Amen. The development should be so that when He gets so big, my friend, that you don't think you're going to be able to stand it. The closer Miss Lori will get to the appointed time, Amen. The closer she will get to that point, appointed time of delivery, I promise you, she'll be ready. Because God never intended for that baby to stay inside of her no more than God intends for you to be able to contain God inside you and keep Him to yourself. No, God will bring you to the point in your development that He will get so big in you, you can't hardly stand it. And there'll be a birth, amen, where you produce and manifest Jesus to the world. Amen. Amen. If he stays inside of her, he'll kill her. Oh, this is wonderful. Miss Lori might think, oh, this is wonderful. I've got this baby in me. Oh, it's wonderful. But I want to tell you what, if there's not a delivery, then there's a danger of death. Amen. More than I've seen people over the years spiritually die because they kept Jesus in and kept Him contained and they never got big with Him. And amen. He never got big inside of them and they never produced Him on the job to those people they work with or at the schoolhouse, to the schoolmates or to the neighborhood or in their church. What's this, Brother Clipper? As long as God was in her, oh Lord, just give me this. As long as God was in Mary, Mary was seen more than God. But when it come time that he is a kicking, amen, and ready to get out of there. Why? Because God intended for him to come as the Lamb of the world, Lamb of God, to save sinners. I want out of here. I want to go beyond you. I want to get to your people in your neighborhood. I want to get to them. As long as he was inside her, Brother Jacob, you could see Mary more than God. But when God was produced, Brother Rob, you saw God more than Mary. Amen. Amen. He come walking around the side of the hill one day, and the greatest prophet ever born of a woman, John the Baptist, looked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He would have never preached that. He would have never pointed Him out had Mary kept Him inside. Watch this right here, Brother Credit. As long as he was inside Mary, he could only grow to a point. He could only get so big. Oh, watch this. In fact, after the delivery, Brother Mike, he got bigger than she was. Amen. Oh, you know, amen. God wants to get big in you so that there'll be a point in your life that He'll take you to that next level where He gets big around you and He gets big outside of you. Now watch this. You say, preacher, there was a delivery, but there never was a detachment. Because Mary was always around. Wherever Jesus was, that was got big in her, and she just enjoyed watching Him get big outside of her. Amen. Oh, think about it. Boy, as she watched, try to make the parallel here, as she watched that one that was once inside of her, that was once big inside of her, now has been produced and manifest to a world. And my friend, and she would watch Him touch this one on, and touch that one, and raise this one up, and cleanse the leper, and cause the blind to see. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I could hear her think in her mind, that's Him. That's the one that got big in me. That's the one that's getting big outside of me. The delivery. Without this delivery, Jesus would only affect Mary. But through the delivery, He would affect the world. In fact, we're sitting here today, saved, we that are saved, we're sitting here today, saved Brother Rob, because Mary didn't want to keep him to herself. And she produced him and made him public. See, as long as he was in her, he was personal and private. But oh, when he got out and he began to go through preaching and raising the dead and doing great miracles, he became a public Savior. Boy, business picks up, Brother Rob, when he takes and goes beyond just being a personal Savior till he's using you to be a public Savior. Amen. And he'd have never been a public Savior without the use of Mary. God's going to use you and wants to use you, my friend, to produce Jesus to the world. Of course, there's pain and there's travail involved in that as well. Birthing pains. He didn't get great outside of her, he got great inside of her. Amen. No delivery, growth is limited. He'll only get so big. Amen. Amen. I like this and I'm done. After the delivery. Boy, this is good. Lord, give us to me today. After the delivery. The intimacy intensified. See, as long as he was just getting big in her, there was a love there, there was an affection there. Oh. But when he was produced, she could handle him and hold him and hug him and kiss him. In other words, there's great fellowship when she got Jesus to that next level from being inside of her to being outside of her. Jesus is wanting to get outside you and affect others. Amen. But you can have fellowship with Him. Amen. Are we great with God? I want to be. I want to be. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we tried our best to be obedient to You and preach what You told us to. And thank You for, Lord, the good liberty that You've given us to preach. And Lord, I know that a lot of what was preached today really goes to believers. But Lord, the truth is still yet that sinners ought to know that when they get saved, Christ comes inside. He takes up residence inside of them. He tabernacles in their body. He uses them to live in and to live through. Lord, I pray that You'll bring conviction on sinners and show them, Lord, unless Christ is in them, they are not saved. And if they die in that Christless condition, they'll go to a Christless eternity, a Christless hell. Lord, I pray that You'll show sinners in this building tonight that they need Jesus. They don't have to be miserable. They don't have to be empty and dry. They don't have to do that, Lord. They can know that they are loved, that they are special to You. And Lord, that You desire, and not only desire to save them, but You died to save them. Lord, I pray You deal with their heart. Lord, put conviction on them and show them their guiltiness before You. As being a transgressor, a lawbreaker. Lord, I pray You'd save sinners tonight. And I believe, Lord, we'll see more sinners get saved when we see saved people getting more serious and more committed and more sanctified and separated and serving. And taking their spirituality to be very important and very personal. Making it a priority. Lord, I pray You'd use the message today and speak to hearts in this invitation in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.